Tiny Temper, Jess Glynn, Not Letting Go on MKFM. Good evening. It's Leah with you for another MK Mental Health Hour. Tonight, we're talking all about adults and social media. And joining me in the studio, as always, is John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. Hello, John.
Hello. Good evening.
Hello. Lovely to have you with us. And we've also got Marvin from Volume 2 with us as well. Hello, Marvin.
Hello.
Hello. So, John, before we get into the topic of adults and social media, I know we've spoken about children and social media in the past. If people want to listen back to that, we do have a podcast over on our website, which is mkfm.com. But give us a bit of an insight into Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and the great work you do.
Yes, so in Milton Keynes specifically, there's around 4,000 kids that can't access mental health support. So we provide training to companies, we provide digital services and one-to-ones. So all of our services feed into providing these subsidised sessions for children so they can access help within a week, rather than the current average, which is about 10 years for kids to get help. So we're looking to change that.
Brilliant. And you're always so busy. I mean, the team is growing and growing every week. What's been new with you over the last week or so?
It is. Well, we've extended out to receive GP referrals from all GP surgeries in Milton Keynes now. So if you're at your GP surgery when they reopen, then you might see us flicking our logo, flicking through on some of the TV screens and stuff, which is very exciting. And loads more referrals. Last week was a massive influx. So appreciate that people at the moment aren't able to access their GP surgery physically. So if there is anyone who wants to go speak to their GP or wants to reach out to someone about their mental health, then they can do on our website, which is arthurellismhs.com.
Brilliant. And this evening, as we mentioned, we're talking about adults and social media. And joining us in the studio is a bit of a guru in this area, Marvin from Volume 2. Hello, Marvin.
Hello.
So tell us a little bit about you, Marvin, and your background.
Yeah, sure. No problem. So I run a company called Volume 2. And what we do is we generally help SMEs with sales, marketing and social media management. My background is spent a very, very long time working in London. Used to be associate director of a London agency. Moved from that to being sales and transformation lead for a very, very large outsourcing company. And basically, I realized that I wasn't sort of combining all of the things that I really enjoy doing. So I left that world and actually set up Volume 2, where I could actually combine the creative side of things with the sales side.
Brilliant. Really. So you've got a lot of experience in this. And actually, we were just talking in that song about you said it, but actually we all kind of agreed with it. Your love-hate relationship with social media. Tell us a bit more about that.
Well, I think it's one of those situations, really. I mean, social media isn't, people forget how young it is in the scheme of things. You know, it's only been around really for the last sort of 10 years. Mm. And
it's crazy to think that, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And for people like me who are quite private, where, you know, when it comes to sharing information, sharing pictures and things like that, it's a bit of a contradiction when you then, it becomes what you do. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And your advice to other people isn't necessarily something that you would want to do yourself. But then on the flip side to that, I'm also a bit of a geek in when it comes to the newest thing that's out on social media.
And you've said you are the guy that reads the terms and conditions.
Are you?
So yeah, there is someone that reads them in the world.
I always wondered who that one person was.
So you've all signed away your houses and everything else.
But that's the thing, we don't necessarily read them, so we don't know what we're signing up to. And that has a massive impact into our well-being, whether it's an immediate impact or a long-term impact. So that's kind of what we wanted to address. What is social media? What impact is it having on our mental health?
Brilliant. Well, we're going to be delving into that a little bit more after the weekend now. This is Blinding Lights on MKFM. Everyone's still loving that tune from the weekend. It's Blinding Lights on MKFM. So this MK Mental Health Hour, we're talking all about adults and social media, joined as always by John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Marvin from Volume 2. So Marvin, we were just hearing about the fact that we kind of put so much out on social media. We've got a bit of this kind of love-hate relationship and keeping up with the Joneses kind of style with it as well. What can people gather about us? What are we putting out there that people can take and have an understanding about our lives?
Well, I think the question is who are you talking about? Because obviously you've got the organizations themselves, but then you've actually got other people who are watching what you're doing. So, you know,
that in itself is quite frightening.
Scary. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was a recent situation where a rapper was murdered in America, a guy called Pop Smoke. I don't know if you know him or not, but he was putting stuff on social media about what he'd purchased, and you know, look at my sort of Gucci this or
Versace bragging.
And there was an address on one of the items, and apparently, or allegedly, that's how they sort of found his address and came, and you know what I mean. He ended up dying, unfortunately.
Well, I've seen it before as well, where someone might get a really lovely tax rebate, and they will take a picture of the check and then post it, and it's like, well, that's got your address. It's got different numbers on it, which I don't know what the numbers mean on checks and stuff.
But somebody some that people might be will, looking out for
yeah,
it
yeah,
someone
will, 100%. And they'll be able to figure something out from that. But the organisations gather quite a bit as well.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And that's the thing. It's far more dangerous than you actually realise. And I don't want it to sort of turn into a scaremongery type of thing, but it's just that you don't actually know. Yeah, you don't actually know who is out there looking at what you're posting, and that's before you get to the organisations themselves.
At something like Messenger, that tell us a little bit about that and what data might be taken from Messenger.
Yeah, so I mean, Messenger is something that I've had a bit of a love-hate relationship with myself. I tend to delete it and reinstall it and delete it because obviously people message through it. So you kind of, from my perspective, as someone who's running a business, you kind of have to use it. But there's some of the worst terms and conditions that I've seen in respect to, you know, control of you signing away control of your camera or control of the, you know, being able to access your contacts and all of those things. And at the end of the day, I don't know why people are so relaxed with it. I think maybe because it's a free platform and everybody else is on it, so you know, it can't be harmful.
It must be okay. Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think people forget that Facebook turns over 70.7 billion or something, and Facebook now own Instagram and WhatsApp, but Instagram itself turns over 20 billion. Wow. So you got to start to think about, well, okay, these are businesses, so they must be making money somewhere, and then just apply a bit of common sense to it, and that's before you even get to the sort of Cambridge Analytica stuff where it was exposed.
It was. Well,
what were we actually up to?
There was a really good documentary actually, and it was looking at how this data is then used that they're collecting around us by us handing over it all from the terms and conditions, to change our different behaviours, so they can change our buying behaviour, as we know with adverts, but also knowing about who we are, so knowing how susceptible we might be to changing our decision making, so that if we're on the fence about who we might vote for in an election, or who we might or what things we might be doing in the future, they can predict that, so they can actually begin to change our behaviour by showing us what we want to see. And mental health wise, as we saw with the last election, which I don't want to bring up for anybody who was really affected by it, but that has a massive impact. And for half the people in the country who didn't want something to swing that way, that then, in some respects, I've spoken to people where it's ruined their next 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
So
it can have a big impact.
It has a massive impact. So that's what we wanted to try and explore, just by knowing what are we signing up to, what kind of impact it can have, and also why we're becoming so reliant and so kind of addicted to it.
Well, we're going to be looking at those risks after Duke Jamont and Jax Jones. I got you. Which place for you next?
The MK Mental Health Hour with 123 Internet Group. MKFM.
Duke Jamont and Jax Jones, I got you on MKFM. Good evening. It's Leah with you for another MK Mental Health Hour tonight, talking all about adults and social media, as always with John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Marvin from Volume 2. So we're just talking now about the risks of using social media, and we've spoken about kind of data collection from different companies and the amounts that people can kind of collect about us and know about our lives. And one of the biggest risks and worries, John, is the desensitization of all of these things.
Yeah, well, you just become accustomed to using things, and like what Marvin was saying about needing to use it for business purposes and work purposes, you end up getting roped in to needing it, which is kind of probably something that people say, oh, I don't need it, but really you kind of do.
Yeah, and we've already agreed that we've all got this kind of love-hate relationship with it, yet yeah, we're all still using it because it's a societal thing that we've kind of been bred to be on.
But that's true, isn't it? When we were talking about these new upgrades of phones, and all of a sudden your phone starts shorting out or your battery gets worse, so you have to upgrade it again. I think Apple got actually reprimanded for doing that.
Yeah, slowing down.
So it's kind of like they are making the choices for us and looking at using our data to influence our behaviours and all of this other stuff. We can just become accustomed to things like seeing information and believing it. And we were talking, Marvin, about the misinformation like at the moment with coronavirus that's going around, and you were saying about homemade sanitizers
the whole homemade sanitizer thing is probably one of the most Googled things at the moment. I saw online, and the issue that you've got is talking about desensitization, it's everyone has their own kind of personal agenda when sort of swinging things back to how adults are affected by social media. Everyone wants more followers. Everyone wants more likes. Everyone wants their 15 minutes of fame. And the issue is when you've got something like, you know, coronavirus or some other big thing that's in the media or that's everywhere, it's the knee-jerk reaction to actually make a joke of it. Do you know what I mean? Because if someone finds it funny, then they're going to, you know, like my post or follow me on social media. And then what happens is that's a massive wave of lots and lots of memes about toilet roll running out or about, do you know what I mean? Empty shelves where hand sanitizer once was. And it becomes a bit of a joke. And that actually desensitizes you of the real risk of the coronavirus. Do you know what I mean? I mean, don't get me wrong. I also am quite realistic about it. When you compare some of the statistics to things like flu and so on and so forth. However, it's still quite a serious risk. This is a worldwide thing. Do you get what I mean?
It's a pandemic.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't want it to get to the state that flu is. and we were saying about other things that we can get desensitized to, like a while ago, Leah, we did the money show.
Yes.
And debt is going up across the country. And we were talking about how easy it is for, if we're looking at using this data to influence our behaviour, they're encouraging us to buy stuff constantly. Mm. And it's getting so easy now. You can buy things with a fingerprint. Mm. And it's not physical money that you're handing over.
You don't even really
over.
Feel like you're buying anything.
No, until you look at your account at the end of the
month. And you get a big shock at the end of the month.
And then you've got to visit the lovely people at Citizens Advice that we had on. So it's kind of all of that is shaping up to be very, very desensitized around spending, what decisions we're making. And there is a real, I believe that there is a real reason for that. And it all comes back to, I believe everything comes back to mental health anyway, but it all comes back to mental health and well-being and why we are needing this fulfillment.
Well, we're going to be exploring exactly that after Dua Lipa now. So don't start now on MKFM. Sounded very nice, that. Dua Lipa and Don't Start Now on MKFM, this MK Mental Health Hour, talking about adults and social media. We've just spoken about the risks and the impact that it can have on a person, kind of negatively. And one of those impacts we've been speaking about is procrastination with social media. Now, this is definitely something I'm guilty of. I think we're all probably guilty of it. I actually do this whenever I try and go to the gym. I will sit in my car for 10 minutes and scroll on social media before I have to face the music and go in. But procrastination is something that you've seen, Marvin, in some of your kind of strategy days that you do with companies. Tell us 100%. A bit about that.
Well, it's funny because obviously we'll do strategy days with organisations in order to map out a roadmap for the next 2, 3, 5 years. And that involves sales strategy, marketing, branding, looking at social media planning. And it's funny because within those days, there's an element of mindset that comes into it, because people will procrastinate or think, oh no, we can't do that because of this, or we can't do that because of that. But when you actually map it out and write it out in front of them, and they can actually see it, and all of a sudden the hurdles are being moved out of the way, it's like, oh, actually I can do that, and if I don't spend as much time doing this, then I can actually bring that into play, and you know what I mean.
So yeah, so I it's think, not necessarily just in work that that happens. Yeah. Obviously, you're speaking to companies about that, but people can implement those things in their own personal
lives
as well.
100%, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's funny because obviously I'm looking at it from a business perspective, but now I find that I do similar things with within my personal life, because with your social media, you can quite easily plan out what you want to post. Like, yeah, people tend to post based on what's happening right now, but you know, you can save a lot of time if you actually plan things out, you know, using free management
you
tools
can schedule
or whatever.
Stuff. Yeah. It's relatively easy for a business.
This is the thing. And okay, it sounds boring and it doesn't sound realistic from a personal perspective, but it depends on how much time you're spending online and how much of an impact it has on your life.
And actually, you can monitor those things now. There's loads of apps and things.
Yeah.
And
screen
time.
Yeah.
Can keep a watchful eye on it. So we know that we can be more effective in our lives and kind of put our time to better things. But John, why are we so attached to our social media then? What is it about it?
It's replaced an awful lot of elements of well-being. So back to our self-care show with Sonal and looking at the five ways to well-being, which has been, it's a worldwide thing. It's like how our well-being is made up. It's looking at taking notice of things around you, where if you're just looking at a smartphone that's just in front of your face, you're not necessarily looking at everything that's around you, whether it's nature, whether it's what's going on. And now there are actually some cases of young people being born with shorter optic nerves, because as a race we don't look that far beyond a smartphone.
Shocking, isn't it?
We're evolving because of these devices. So so really part and parcel of well-being about being active. I don't know how many people look at Facebook while they are running, but it's not really something you can do hand in hand safely anyway. So if you're looking at, you know, being active and you're sat in your car waiting to go into the gym, Leah, it's kind of the opposite of it. And it's all of these things that are replacing our what we need in terms of well-being with this need for being fulfilled by what we are trying to post and the likes and stuff like that. So it's not really having a very helpful impact on it in the long run.
And there's definitely that feeling of FOMO, isn't there, if you don't have social media. I know when we did the children and social media show, we actually had some really eloquent eloquent children that were saying they have kind of detoxes from social media, but then you inevitably go back on it because you are scared of missing out. It's the fear of missing out.
And if, you know, if you get back to work and someone around the water cooler, if people do have those kind of conversations still, I don't know, but you know, oh, have you seen this that happened at the weekend and you haven't, then it's, to be
like
fair, I would
out.
Prefer to find it out firsthand just from another human. But you kind of get that thing that you are missing out on everything. And there was this study of addiction that was done in Canada, and it was called Rat Park, which doesn't sound very pleasant.
No.
But it must have been wonderful for the rats. So what happened was they had two cages. One cage had nothing in it. One cage was just really bland, awful. It was just a cage. But it had two water bottles, and one water bottle was laced with drugs.
Right.
Which, and one water bottle was just normal water. It had nothing else in it. And the rats, obviously, loved the drug water, so that was gone, and they just drank that until unfortunately they died. This was a while ago, so animal rights and stuff hadn't kicked in at that point. I think it was in the 70s. And then in the other rat park, it was a wonderful environment. They had all sorts. They had slides, they had nature in there, so they had little trees, mini tiny trees for rats. They
it's
had
like a rat theme park.
Yeah, they had loads of stuff to fulfill them. And in that particular one, all of the rats did not touch the drug-laced water at all.
That's interesting.
So looking at addiction, whether it is to drugs, whether it's to social media, it's all this need for something that's missing in our lives. And if you can build something around you using these five ways to well-being to give you that fulfillment, then naturally you won't need all of this other unhelpful stuff that comes into it.
Well, we do have some very helpful tips to help you combat kind of some of these effects, and we'll go into those after Arizona Zervas Roxanne, which is on the way for you right after this.
The MK Mental Health Hour with 123 Internet Group. MKFM.
It's Arizona Zervas and Roxanne on MKFM. Good evening, it's Leah with you for another MK Mental Health Hour. Tonight we're talking all about adults and social media, and we've been hearing about the impact that it can have on us as individuals, but we do have some great tips now of combating some of those effects, and we're going to be talking now, John, about the general well-being, the five ways of general well-being, which we've spoken about before, but it is applicable here as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's applicable in everything. It's just generally how humans remain well. So it is, if we're looking at social media and the addiction to it or the need for fulfillment from it, and it starts to replace everything else within our lives, then we can revert back to having a look at the five ways, which is taking notice of what's around us. So that doesn't necessarily mean taking notice of everyone's posts, but it's taking notice of the trees, taking notice of smells around us, and enjoying the environment and atmosphere that we're in. It's looking at being active, so making sure that we get enough exercise or activity based on what our individual capabilities are. Connecting with other people, so that is if we're having dinner, actually speaking to them, learning about people's days rather than looking at a picture of what they've eaten for lunch. Giving, so donating your time. It doesn't necessarily have to be money, but it's giving your time to others and sacrificing some of your it makes you feel good. And then learning other things, so expanding our minds and learning different things, and that could be through signing up to a new course or learning something new. It could be online. You know, there's a lot of online learning stuff, which is really good. But it's just learning a new technique or craft.
And I mean, these all sound like very simple things, and it's something that we can all do, and we just need to be a bit more mindful of it. And one of the things that you say, Marvin, is about kind of being in the moment. And John just touched there on kind of taking notice of people around you and everything that's going on. And we were just speaking during that song about your partner who's maybe kind of scrolling on social media when you've taken the time to sit down and watch a movie together. But that does have a bit of an impact.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what you're saying, John, really. If you're sitting down watching a film together, are you actually watching the film, or are you sat on your phone while the other person's sat there watching it? And then 9 times out of 10, the other person actually isn't that bothered about watching the film. They'd rather watch football or something else, or do you know what I mean? So
that's such a I've got this friend moment.
You know, I'm not mentioning any names or anything.
But it is really important. And actually, in our household, we have always had this rule that we're not allowed phones at the dinner table, because that was our time together.
Absolutely.
As a family. And I think that's a really great rule to live by.
And that was a standard growing up, and that's kind of changed, hasn't it, with the introduction of all of these other things.
Absolutely. And also the way that, I mean, you're saying about a film, but if there's any a program on the telly that people are watching live, so many people now are monitoring Twitter and finding out about the program
trending
via
Twitter.
Absolutely. Rather than making their own assumptions about what's going on, they want to find out what everybody else's point of view is on that.
Even concerts and things like that, you know, that I've been to so many concerts recently. And I think from my perspective, I kind of see or have seen the growth and the progression. I think we all have now. Do you know what I mean? Because it's, I think we were saying at the top of the show, social media really is a 10-year thing. Do you know what I mean? Really, there or thereabouts. And, you know, we can probably remember going to a concert and not seeing everybody or a sea of phones recording the show. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And actually being in the moment and enjoying the performance rather than just recording it.
Or taking notice, and that's the five, that's part of the five ways. So, and we've said about the gym and you're sitting in the car.
Yes, my bad.
Sorry to keep picking on
you. No, that's fine.
But sitting in the car.
It's true.
And sometimes I've done it before where I'm just really not in the mood to go for a run, or I'm just not motivated to. So I get my phone out and I'll sit on my bed scrolling through stuff until it's dark, so
it's
I can't go for a run now.
I haven't got any time.
So if that begins to happen, we need to really address what we're doing for each of these five ways within our own lives. So whether it is taking notice and putting your phone down when you go for a walk, so you're looking further than your smartphone, if it is about connecting with when it's a movie mm-hmm. or it's connecting around a dinner table, learning, giving, and being active. So if you are skipping the gym or sitting in your
I never skip it. I just need a bit of motivation. And actually, one of the other things to be mindful of is who you're following as well. Because I suppose if I was following some gym fitness people, they might then motivate me to go into the gym rather than eating that burger that I've just been drooling over on Instagram before going into the
gym. It's funny you say that, because I think that's probably the difference between social media for adults and social media for kids. So as adults, we can actually or should be able to actually apply a bit more common sense. So, you know, be able to say, right, well, I'm not going to follow that and that because that's a distraction. Let me fill my timeline with this stuff because it's more positive and it's more empowering. Or let me actually apply a bit of time management and say to myself, right, you know, even if I go out for a meal and I take a picture of my meal, I'm not going to then sit there and try and post it on Instagram at the same time. I'll post it later. Let me enjoy the meal. Let me enjoy the person I'm having the meal with. Do you get what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I think that's
it. People do slip on it though, and one thing that we've kind of encouraged people to do is if they are flicking through their timeline or their feed, is to look at who you're following and think, do I want their life or do they add to mine?
Right.
So if you can sort of think about that, and if they are adding to your life, keep them. If you are envious or you kind of want the lifestyle that they have, get rid of them, because in majority of the time it'll be unrealistic.
Brilliant. Well, some great top tips as always. If you've missed any of them throughout the show, we're going to be doing a quick recap after Coldplay now. This is Paradise on MKFM. Just doesn't get old, this song. Coldplay and Paradise on MKFM. So for the Mental Health Hour this evening, we've been talking all about adults and social media. As always, some really great kind of tips, and it's definitely made us all think a little bit more and be a bit more mindful about social media. Give us a bit of a recap, John, if people have missed any of the key points.
Yeah, so very, very beginning at the front of the show, we were talking about considering what you're signing up to. So are you actually reading the terms and conditions? What are you signing over in way of your personal information? And just be really, really mindful about what you actually put on social media. We probably are beginning to become quite desensitized around it. So it might be very difficult for us to consider what impact it's having on us, because we might not recognize it. But if you are starting to procrastinate with work and it's having an impact on your work, it might be having an impact on your fitness and the activities that you do, because you're procrastinating, you're not feeling motivated, so you'll do that instead. Have a look at readdressing the 5 ways to well-being just as a starting point, because being active, connecting with people, really, like around a dinner table or something, taking notice of what's around you further than your smartphone, learning something new like a craft, and giving your time to an organization. Arthur Ellis welcomes volunteers, which is wonderful too. But all of these things to readdress, if you are recognizing that it's like creeping into your life a little bit too much. Obviously that's based on the individual, but it needs to be addressed.
Absolutely. And if people want to find out more information on this topic and everything that you do at Arthur Ellis, how can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a guide to 5 ways on our website. So that is arthurellismhs.com.
Brilliant. And Marvin, it's been a pleasure to have you with us in the studio
this
evening as well. If people want to find out more about Volume 2, how can they do that?
Yeah, sure. You can head to the website, Volume 2, that's two.co.uk, and you can click on Discovery Call or contact us by email. Alternatively, follow us on social media sites, so Volume_2 on Twitter and Volume 2 Official. Everywhere else.
Fantastic. Well, thank you both so much for this evening. Been really, really informative. If you've missed anything that we've spoken about, we will be podcasting this entire interview as well over on our website, which is mkfm.com. Thank you both, and join us same time next week, 7 o'clock next Sunday, for another MK Mental Health Hour.
The MK Mental Health Hour and MKFM.